And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical. So I have Chaz Thompson, the baritone of beer, sitting here with me. We've been talking knives.
We're keeping it sharp today.
Right. Yes, we are. Sharper than I've been in a long time. But speaking of that, we're doing knives show today, which sounds a little odd, but we had a really good guest on, Corey Miller from Miller Custom Knives, who makes knives. So it's like, that's kind of cool. Well, before you get one made, you ought to learn how to use one, right? And now we've got a guy on the live line, Chef Bob Schultz from the Culinary School here at Grand Rapids Community College, and he teaches a class on knife handling skills. So now joining us on the live line, Chef Schultz. Thanks for your time, man.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being on again. It's good to hear.
Yeah, it's been a while. It has been a while. So, you know, when you go to culinary school, I'm sure there's a lot of things you got to learn. But, you know, I don't know how many guys named Stubb that you've graduated. But I think one of the things is knife skills. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like.
Okay, great. Yeah, so that's one of the classes, one of the first classes that our culinary students take, and even in our culinary management students, is a knife skills class, or we call it our skill development class. And there's so many crucial, important things when handling a knife. Number one, you definitely want a very, very sharp knife. So a lot of students and a lot of people have a tendency to neglect their knives. So we do teach them how to put it on a stone and sharpen it, and that makes a huge difference when you're cutting anything.
Let's stop there. The stone. I know a little bit about sharpening knives, but not a lot. There's a series of stones that have different coarseness, correct? Is that proper?
That is correct. That is correct. And with the coarse, if you neglect your knife, you definitely want to hit it with a little bit of a coarser stone, but if you keep it up on a regular basis, like if you're using your chef knife daily, then once a week or once every 3 days would be sufficient on a finer stone. And that's what most of our students will do, is hit it on a fine stone and not a coarse stone.
It's like the difference day of one. Whether you use a bulldozer or you use a fine brush to get the dirt out of the way.
Right, yeah.
You know, working down to the just maintenance and a little fine.
Right.
You can just
final grade
with
for the seed. Take the bulldozer away. Yeah. But anyway,
exactly.
So go ahead. So we got it. Sharpness is key, right? Because you don't ever want a dull knife. Because the only thing you're going to cut with a dull knife is yourself.
Correct. And the other couple important notes to make is that if you're right-handed, you're using your left hand as a guide. So you need to keep your fingertips bent. Your tip of your fingertips should be bent. So when you're using the four fingers, it's a guide. It's a guide. So I'm actually resting my knife on my four fingers and slicing through a product. And the tip of your fingers has to be bent. Otherwise, you lose.
So it's in effect, it's your second knuckle between your second and third knuckle, right? Is a flat. It creates a flat surface, and your knife slides up and down on that as a guide, and you move your fingers across the product that you're slicing. And in once you practice this for a while, you really don't even need to look, because it's a feel that the guide, and you're just up and down, up and down, up and down, going across the product. That in its of itself is a huge skill.
That is correct. And the other thing is, you want to, for the most part, keep the tip of your knife on the cutting board. I mean, there's exceptions when I'm slicing mushrooms or something, if it's a bigger product. But if I'm cutting and dicing and julienne something or chefing out a basil, the tip of my knife is always going to be on the cutting board. So it's more of a rocking motion.
So you get another control safety point.
Right. Yeah, it's not sliding all over. Right.
Correct.
So what's the tip for moving your hand? Because, like, if I'm cutting a piece of fish, let's say, or you want to do let's get away from fish, an onion. I've taken a slice of onion, and now I'm trying to dice it up. How do I move my guide hand across and keep the knife moving? If the tip's on the board, is it pivoting on that, or is it sliding down the board?
Sliding a little bit down the board. And I use my depending on what I'm cutting, if I'm cutting a product where I have to feed it to the knife, I'll use my opposite thumb to push the product towards the knife. So then it's actually behind my bent fingers and my between the second and third knuckle. So I'm kind of pushing it. So if I'm dicing a cucumber, dicing or slicing a zucchini or squash, I'm kind of pushing that towards my hand, and it's kind of feeding the knife at that time. Because you don't want your hands and knife to move from a central location on your cutting board. That's if you're cutting something, you know, flaying a fish or something like that is a little bit different, quite a bit different. But I'm just talking dicing and slicing.
Right. So you're going to move the product, not the knife in your hand.
Right. Those two are kind of stationary. Correct. The product goes through the knife rather than the knife moving through the product. Okay, interesting.
That is correct.
So now let's talk about frozen stuff. Once in a while, you got to cut some frozen stuff. What are your tips there?
As far as if I'm ever going to chop bacon or something like that, I prefer it frozen.
Right.
But if you're cutting something frozen as far as to put in a sauce, a soup, a protein, what exactly?
Well, pick one. I don't care. It's just there's always challenges with frozen items.
That's because Joppy doesn't remember to thaw his stuff ahead.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So if I'm fabricating like a chicken, I do like it slightly frozen.
Okay.
So it actually works pretty good. If it's a fish, fish really has to be completely thawed if I want to fillet it.
Right.
But those two products, you know, I definitely would thaw it the best I can. But if it's a frozen chicken breast,
I guess my question is don't cut it when it's frozen, thaw it out, right?
Correct.
Or not necessarily.
That's going to be your best answer, right?
Right.
But occasionally you're going to run into something where, you know, everybody's done it. And, hey, there's times when maybe you got to grab that serrated knife.
Right.
And do some sawing.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is all of a sudden two more people come over for dinner and you're in your prep phase and now you got to double the amount of protein and it's frozen, right?
Yes. Yes, that's about your option then, yes.
Right, yep. So then in the knife skills, are you teaching different knives to use? We've talked about a chef knife. That's a wider blade, comes down to a point on the end. But Chaz just mentioned like a serrated knife, which probably isn't a chef's knife. And what are like the top two or three knives that somebody should have in their kitchen?
You know, a serrated knife definitely works well when you're dealing with any bread products or cutting that. I like the long slicing knife, which is about a third larger or longer than the chef knife for if I'm cutting proteins. I don't really want to saw a protein, so if I'm cooking a piece of a brisket,
right,
I don't want to use a too small a knife where I'm kind of sawing through it. I want a nice slice, so I would use the slicing knife. I like a boning knife and definitely a paring knife are the four main knives that I use primarily all the time.
So tell me the difference between a paring knife and a boning knife for those that don't know.
Okay, paring knife is generally about 3 to 4 inches, and one of your smallest knives that you'll have in your kit. And I use that for intricate carving or intricate pieces. So if I'm supreming an orange or if I'm cutting an orange and taking the segments out, I'll use a little paring knife. If I'm cutting a zucchini and I want to carve and turn a zucchini or something like that, I'm using a paring knife. A boning knife is what I pretty much use when I'm fabricating fish and small proteins. If I'm flaying or fabricating chicken, guinea hen, breaking down tenderloins, I'll use my boning knife for that.
Hey,
and there's
Jeff,
a couple types of boning knives. Yep.
Just kind of a quick question. Is this knife skills course open to people outside the culinary program? I know some of the classes are offered as, you know, like continuing ed stuff.
That's a great question. Thank you for bringing that up. And yes, we will continue those after COVID. And we do offer a knife skills class, yes, and open to the public. And we do knife skills and some other cookery classes here.
Comes with some waiver documentation, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking we might send Randy down on a secret mission to get his skills too.
I need a crash course or a brush up so that right now I got all five, but, you know, there's always that chance that something crazy. But anyway, so that's cool. Now, what are the we got just a minute left. What are like the biggest no-nos that you see of your students where you've got to turn them around real quick?
A knife's not for chopping any aromatics like an onion or in the onion family. You really need to slice through it. And if you blow up a knife, like a chef knife, it kind of is like a huge axe. The top of the knife is quite a bit is thicker than the cutting edge. So if you slice straight down an onion, that's why you cry. You lose the enzymes. You lose all that flavor in that onion by just chopping it. You want to slice it and always use a slicing motion when you're using a chef knife.
Is that pulling that knife toward me or pushing it away from me?
Good question. Pushing away from you.
Right.
Pushing away from you. Correct.
Yep. So that's the safest way to go. Start with the tip and push through to the heel, and your slice will go down through there. And it's not a saw and it's not a chop like an axe, right? I mean, it's just a smooth motion. And I've been told, now debunk this, I could be all full of it, but I've been told that you don't cry as much with an onion if you have a really sharp knife versus a dull one.
That is correct. Yeah. That is definitely 100% correct.
Right, because again, it's a swifter cut. It's smoother. You're not disrupting the enzymes you talked about, right?
Yeah. That is correct. Yes.
All right. Yeah, you're not assaulting it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Chef, exactly. Thanks so much for joining us on this one. It's been a idea of ours for a year or better to talk about how knives really relate into the grilling. And your class sounds like it'd be a great thing for some of our listeners to participate in if they're in the West Michigan area. So we'll look forward to the end of COVID and continuing ed and some of these great educational opportunities coming back. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure. It's nice talking to you, gentlemen.
All right. Great. Take care, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Chef Schultz, Grand Rapids Community College culinary professor, if you will. An amazing guy. Had him on the show several times, but just a champ. But Chaz, I'm serious. I'd like to take that course.
Oh, I might want to go with you.
It'd just be fun to go and learn about it. But anyway, coming up next, we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, so stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. GarrettsAppliance.com.